back on the Federal Drive with Tom Temin on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serbu, filling in for Tom. The Chief Learning Officers Council found agencies were paying significant different amounts of money for similar learning management systems. And because every agency uses some kind of LMS to track how employees are meeting their continuing education requirements, they saw an opportunity. Carlise Kelly is the Chief Learning Officer at the Agriculture Department and the Chairwoman of the Federal Chief Learning Officers Council. She tells Executive Editor Jason Miller about a new effort to bring some standardization to services and cost to federal learning management systems.
We are looking into, with the Office of Personnel Management, looking at the possibility of getting a few of the providers to do something called shared service, which would create some type of contract using the buying power, the collective buying power of the federal government to drive down the costs of actually providing this service, and also help us standardize, do a little bit better with standardizing the service. And the other thing would be that making it a little bit more affordable, so even some of those agencies that don't have this service could actually begin to have it. So that's one of the initiatives that we're working on.
When you looked across, and generally speaking, did you see a 10% price difference and a 60% price difference? How much of a difference did you see, and how surprising was that?
I don't know that I actually remember any specific numbers. I just do remember that people were like, I can't believe that I'm paying this and you're paying that. And, you know, like I said earlier in a meeting here, we know that each agency probably has some customized features that may add to the cost. But we also know there's a basic service that everybody needs and that we should all really be looking toward. And although I don't really know the numbers, I do know from experiences that we've had in the last several years of trying to streamline our services and get better prices, and where we can see that we use shared services, we know that we can get a much better deal for the government.
Let's talk more broadly as well about some things you guys have input into. One of the big deals was an executive order around executive development. This is something President Obama signed. Talk a little bit about the CLO Council's work to help implement that executive order.
We tend to be the contacts that distribute information about training opportunities to executives. So right now, kind of the drivers in terms of providing some really great resources for onboarding new executives and developing existing executives, it includes Office of Personnel Management and even the Partnership for Public Service. They're actually teaming up to offer opportunities. They will send us information about these opportunities, and then we distribute them. Many of us also work with our executives to help them get coaching, to help them develop executive development plans. We also, in our agencies, have executive resources teams, and they will be involved in the part of the executive order that has to do with the rotations of executives. So we're at the center. Many times we may not be the provider, but we are definitely the ones that distribute the information, make sure people take advantage of those opportunities.
Some of those opportunities that you mentioned at the HCMG conference was a federal coaching network as well as a mentoring hub. Talk a little bit about what you know about. Let's start with the mentoring hub that OPM is working on.
Yes, the mentoring hub is really designed to promote mentoring across the federal government. Right now, it resides in, it's housed in OMB's MAX site. But OPM, I believe, has some funding that they're going to actually launch a site separate for the mentoring hub. I look for that to happen in 2017. Chief Learning Officers Council has been involved with OPM to help them develop, for example, training resources, train mentors, to develop some guidance that, you know, kind of helps provide a little structure for the mentoring. And we're very excited about launching this and moving it out. And actually, OPM has a special and separate mentoring initiative just for the SES. It's called situational mentoring. Experienced SES can volunteer and say, I'm available with, and I have expertise in this area or that area with regard to the executive core qualifications. Like maybe I have expertise in leading change or leading people or building coalitions. And new senior executives can tap into that and just ask for advice from a senior level person who's in this network.
Part of that as well is there's a federal coaching network that's in the process. Talk a little bit about that initiative.
Yes, coaching is something that we know really helps drive high performance. I have to say we give credit to HHS, our colleagues at HHS. They were really working on building a coaching culture, and they started a training program to develop internal coaches. I mean, as our funding shrinks, we know that we need to still provide services. We might not be able to afford an external coach, but if we develop people internally, we can continue to provide those services. Plus, it's a developmental opportunity for the person who gets the coaching training. Thanks to HHS, we have started to really build out a whole coaching cadre across the federal government. It's linked with International Federal Coaching Program. That's a credentialed program. When people complete the training, they have to actually do coaching hours. They have to be observed by someone who's already certified. But it's not that difficult now as we're starting to build more capacity, and we're beginning to actually get a lot of our coaches certified. And they're providing coaching. So once upon a time, coaching was really mostly for either the really high performers or the people that had a lot of problems. When we really start to roll this out, coaching is something that can be for everyone because we have these people embedded within the organization that can provide the coaching. And so that really does leverage the whole effort to drive the high performance.
A lot of these initiatives have are in the works. As you said, they're in process. Do you have a timetable of when you hope to see them be available for federal employees? Maybe some of them are available already. Give me a sense of when should other people in the HR community and non-HR community look for these resources?
Well, the Federal Coaching Network is something that's going on right now. I think we're in the third year of actually doing the training. The training actually just started the week of, it's an intensive training program, almost a year-long program, off and on with a lot of assignments. And it's actually managed out of OPM. It was launched November the 14th. And so we're continuing that effort, and we don't expect to see it slow down. It's really actually just increased every year. The Mentoring Hub, I believe, we'll see in 2017. And another initiative that we have with the council, and it's a partnership with the Chief Human Officers Council, is a standardized training curriculum for HR professionals. And so we're starting to roll out, discipline by discipline, a standardized curriculum that will certify people in the HR community.
In addition to all those initiatives, something else that the Chief Learning Officers Council has recommended or has looked at is a talent development index. It's a very interesting concept. Talk a little bit about what that is and then how that was incorporated, at least some of that, into the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey.
When we got together, another thing that we noticed was that most of us had the responsibility, some responsibility, for the whole employee engagement effort, because training does contribute so much to employee engagement. And one of the things that we felt was that there ought to be some, like there's an employee engagement index, there's a diversity and inclusion index, there's a global satisfaction index in the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey. We really kind of thought there should be a talent development index. We did propose to OPM maybe 10 items that we thought were related to training and development that are on the current Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey. Unbeknownst to us, at that time, OPM was also conducting a study on the drivers of employee engagement. And they came out with 5 factors that drive employee engagement. Number 1 was performance management. Number 2 was collaborative management. Number 3 was merit systems principles. Number 4 was training and development. So we were on the right track. And number 5 was work-life balance. Their study showed only two items in the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey that were linked to unique contributions, items 1 and 18. I don't think that was exactly what we were looking for, but we were really glad to see that training and development was recognized in their study. And then we know in the Best Places to Work rankings that Partnership for Public Service releases that they have a sub-index related to training and employee development. That has a few more items, maybe as many as five. So that was more along the lines of what we were thinking. I think really mostly we just wanted some recognition that training and development is an important contributor to employee engagement.
Carlise Kelly is the Chief Learning Officer at the Agriculture Department and the Chairwoman of the Federal Chief Learning Officers Council. You can learn more about the Council's priorities for the next year on federalnewsradio.com. Still to come on Federal News Radio, for contractors, it's not too early to start thinking about the fourth quarter of the 2017 fiscal year. Do it now, and you might be able to enjoy the summer a little more. First, though, it may be called the skinny budget, but it proposes beefing up parts of the Defense Department. Some expert analysis of the 2018 proposal. This is the Federal Drive with Tom Temin on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serbu, filling in for Tom.